get to the work. We want to talk about 2 Samuel 16:9. We got a lot to discuss tonight, and so let's just get straight in it. I'm going to start reading at verse 9. The Bible says, "Then said Abisha, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." And the king said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord had said unto him, curse, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so?" And David said to Abisha and to all his servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeking my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do to me or do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord had bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him, and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him, and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. Father, add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, exposition of your word. I pray I would decrease and you would increase. I pray that I would let go and you would grab hold, Father God. I pray you have your way in your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we've been in 2 Samuel, and we have watched David's son, Absalom, steal the kingdom from him. We saw David got a message from a messenger saying that Absalom had stolen the hearts of all the people of Israel. And David, because he didn't want to subject the city to warfare, he flees the city and he leaves. And so for the past few weeks, we've been talking about David's flight. We talked about David's Gentile friend, Ittai, who was right by his side. We talked about Zadok, who wanted to be with David, but David told him, no, take the ark, go back into the city. We talked about Hushai, who would let David know all that was going on in the king's house. And we talked about Ziba and Ziba's lie and how he deceives David and conjures up a lie against Mephibosheth, his master. And David bought it hook, line, and sinker. And so David was deceived and really took all Mephibosheth's property and gave it to Ziba with one sentence. Last week we started talking about Shimei. Somebody say Shimei. That's right. And we talked about how Shimei was from the house of Saul. He was from Saul's family. And he was mad at David for taking his family out of power. And he cursed at David as David was passing through the Benjamite territory. He not only cursed, but he threw stones at David. We saw how David's men surrounded him and covered him. David's team was with him. And that's why David was with them, because they was with him. And so we talked about that. We talked about the dream team last time I was up here. And I pray that every single man of God in here and every single woman of God wants to be part of a dream team. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me see your ones if you're part of one team. That's right. So last time we talked about Shimei, saints. And so tonight, hallelujah, in chapter 16, we want to move to our second point. Because the first point was Shimei. And the second point, we're going to talk about David a little bit. We'll talk about him in this whole situation. Amen. And so we're going to look at it. Now, as we look at this in relation to David, we'll have like three sub-points. So it's point two, but it's going to be like three sub-points so you can know where I'm heading and know that I won't take all night to do it. Amen. So let's begin. Let's look at it. Second point, David. Verse 9 says, "Then said Abisha, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." You see, after Shimei begins to throw stones at David and throw dust at David and curse David, one of David's men by the name of Abisha, begins to say something. Now, Abisha is Joab's brother. Somebody say Joab. Abisha is David's nephew, y'all. You see, David had a sister by the name of Zariah, and she must have been a tough chick. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because all of her sons were something else. When they say that you were a son of Zariah, amen, that means you could fight. You understand what I'm saying? And so Abisha, the brother of Joab, the nephew of David, is the son of Zariah. You see what I'm saying? Now, Abisha was not only David's family, but he was one of David's most loyal and valiant men. You see? In fact, he was one of David's mighty men. Somebody say mighty men. Yes, yes, he was a part of that group of fighters that David considered to be the mightiest in the kingdom. Abisha was a part of that. Not only that, Miss Michelle, amen, but within the mighty men, there was a group, a secluded and exclusive group within the mighty men called the Mighty 30. Somebody say Mighty 30. Abisha was not only a part of the mighty men, but he was a part of the Mighty 30, who I like to call the Dirty 30. Anybody hear me up in here? Somebody say Dirty 30. Because if you play, they know how to get dirty, baby. All right? The Dirty 30, all right? So Abisha was on that list. Now, not only was he a part of the mighty men, TP, not only was he a part of the mighty 30, all right? But within the 30, he was a leader over the 30, all right? And a lot of times when they went out to battle, the only person who was over Abisha was Joab, his older brother. And it wasn't no nepotism, y'all, because Abisha could get down, you know? He deserved the position he was in, all right? Let me give you some details. In 1 Chronicles 11:20, they told us that Abisha, amen, he was victorious over 300 men, all right? Now, we don't know the details if he led a squadron or if he did it by himself. But nonetheless, the Bible says, and Abisha, the brother of Joab, was chief of the three. Lifting up his spear against how many? 300. He slew them and had a name among the three. Let me show you 1 Chronicles 18:12, how he led David's army into battle, amen, and was victorious against 18,000 Edomites. In 1 Chronicles 18:12, it says, moreover, Abisha, the son of Zariah, slew of the Edomites in the valley of Salt. How many? 18,000. This was a warrior, man. If we look at 2 Samuel 21:15, he was so much of a warrior that when David got in trouble, Mel, when David got in trouble on the battlefield, guess who saved David's life? Abisha. You see, David was fighting one of Goliath's sons. It was another one of the giants. But David had gotten old at that point. He wasn't as young as he used to be. And so the Bible tells us in 21:15, moreover, the Philistines had war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. But look what it says. And David waxed what? He waxed faint. He got tired. He wasn't as young as he used to be. And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass, and whose in weight, he being girded with a new sword, what happened? He thought to have slain David, had David down, was about to kill David. The Bible says in 17, but who? But Abisha, the son of Zariah, succored him, got him away from David. I don't know how he did it, if he called him out, if he said something, amen, or if he tricked him, amen. But in the nick of time, he saved David's life when David was all but gone. All right? What's his name, y'all? Abisha. You see? Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out to war or out to battle with us, that thou quench not the light of Israel. This dude Abisha was major, y'all. And him and his brother, guess what? They didn't like anybody messing with David. They didn't like nobody messing with David. They wanted to maintain David's honor and respect in the kingdom at all costs. And they didn't mind using their sword to do it. The last time we saw somebody messing with David, amen, that Abisha wanted to deal with was in 1 Samuel 26:7, when Saul was after David to kill him. And David snuck into the camp, Brother Harvey, of Saul. You remember that? Everybody was sleeping and he snuck in, but he took a couple of guys with him. Well, one of the guys he took with him was Abisha. And just to move a little bit faster in verse 8, David, hallelujah, he sees Saul sleeping there, Abner sleeping, Saul's spear right there. And listen, he could take Saul out, and nobody will even wake up and know it, all right? And so Abisha's there. Look what Abisha say in verse 8. Then said Abisha to David, God had delivered thine enemy into thy hand this day. Now therefore, Abisha said, you don't have to do it, David. Let me smite him. Look what he say. I pray thee with the spear, even to the earth. And Abisha said, how many times? Once. I will not smite him the second time. That's the type of dude he was. And David always had to cool him down. David said, Abisha, destroy him not. For who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David knew, hallelujah, the word of God, touch not thine anointed and do my prophets no harm. You see? So this Abisha, amen, this is who he is. And Abisha, now that you know him and you know what type of man he was and you know how he was brave and he loved his uncle David and he was a man, amen, that had action. He could actually do some things, back up his talk. So Abisha hears Shimei cursing David. What you think Abisha going to do? Huh? You got the history now, all right? So Abisha hears that in verse 9. Look what it says. Then Abisha, the son of Zeruiah, hallelujah, said unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? When Abisha calls Shimei a dead dog, he's saying that Shimei is, let me get this right, he's a good for nothing. He's worthless. You know, usually if you see a dead dog on the side of the road, what you do? You keep going. And he's saying, David, why are you allowing this nothing of a man, this worthless man, to curse you like that? And Abisha asks a pertinent question next. He said, let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Anybody hear me up at him? When Abisha say, let me go over, I pray thee, he's saying, David, pretty please. Pretty please with a cherry on top, with cheese. Pretty please. Just let me go over, David. I won't do it unless you give me permission. But I'm begging you to give me permission. Oh, I want him so bad. He throwing rocks at us. He throwing dirt. He cursing. I pray that you would. I'm just not asking you and begging you, please. Look what he said, Britt. He said, I pray thee. I'm praying. It's like he said, let me go in Jesus' name. You understand what? In Jesus' name. You know what? I'm praying that you would. Oh, Yahweh, let me. All right? And I can hear Abisha saying, let me go, David. I can hear him saying, it's only going to take one stroke, David. It'll be so quick, he won't even feel a thing, David. Man, he won't even know, amen, until he try to go down to pick up another rock and his head going to roll right off. He won't even know what hit him. Won't know till he sneezed. Whoopsie, you dropped something, Shimei. Right? Right here, David has the power, the authority, and the personnel to do Shimei great harm. It's right in his hands. It's right in his hands. He is at his disposal. They are literally begging David to do it. All David has to do, Miss Denise, is say the word, and Shimei gonna exit the land of the living. You see? Not only, hallelujah, are they begging him, Miss Kim, but he has a right to do so. The Bible says in Exodus that you're not supposed to curse your God or your king. And both were capital offenses, meaning that they could have dealt with you and take your life for such treasonous activities. But look what David does in verse 10. And the king said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah?" Stop right there. And what David is saying, man, y'all some hard dudes. Y'all want to kill that man quick. What have I to do with y'all? Why y'all so violent? Why y'all can't see the bigger picture and what God may be trying to do? Ooh, David is ministering. He's trying to teach him something, all right? Y'all too hard for me. Why you so quick to pull a trigger? Why you don't have a little mercy sometimes? Because you never know when you're going to need mercy. Oh, God, have mercy. David was a shepherd, yeah, y'all. Not just a sheep, but a man. And he was trying to teach him something. Don't be so quick to do that to people. All right? Yeah, he deserved it. But extend him a little grace, a little mercy, at least for the time being. Because after you extend somebody some mercy and some grace and some time pass, you're going to see if they really deserved it or not. Oh, you got to hear me up in here. So David gives, quote, three reasons. Three reasons why he allowed Shimei to live. You know, Shimei cursed him. Shimei throwing rocks at him. It was wrong. And David's going to let him go right now without any repercussions. He's just going to let him go. Why did David do that? Well, let's discuss it. We're going to talk about three reasons. And I believe, y'all, this word is going to be good for all of us here. You see, because just like David, y'all, sometimes we get in situations where Shimei is coming in our life. And people talk about us and throw stones at us and cast up dust at us. And it hurts us. You understand what I'm saying? And we need a word like this to be able, amen, sometimes to overlook that or show them some kind of mercy or some kind of grace. Right? Why did David show him mercy like that? Why was David so merciful with Shimei? You see? Sub-point A, Noel, the Lord. When we look at verse 10 closely, the Bible says, and the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? Let him curse. Somebody say, let him curse. Why? Because the Lord had said unto him, curse David. David said, let him curse, y'all. Because the Lord told Shimei to curse David. You see, David sees the hand of God in his affliction, in his persecution, in his trouble with Shimei. Sure, it's Shimei, y'all. It's Shimei. Yeah, Shimei doing it. Shimei is the instrument, but God is the hand behind the instrument. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? David is saying, Abisha, God is in this. Abisha, don't kill him. Let him curse. It's not even completely just him that's doing it. God got a hand in it. Yes, it was sin. And no, I'm not saying that God is the author of sin or God is the author of confusion. But I want to tell you that God may not be the author, but he allows certain things to happen. What I'm talking about is his permissive will. You see what I'm saying, Miss Chance and Miss Karen? His permissive will. He may not be the one doing it, but his permissive will allows it to cross his desk. Meaning that they submit a memo to him and God look at it and he said, go ahead, do it. Do it. Do it. Hast thou considered my servant, Job? Anybody hear me up in here? I'm talking about his permissive will here. Let's get deep. Let's get deep now. Because here you are, you're blaming a lot of people for your troubles. But you don't have the wherewithal to know that the hand of the Lord is behind some of the things that you're going through. Hey! God is allowing this to happen. Miss Brandon, sometimes the Bible calls it the mystery of iniquity. That somehow God in his permissive will can even work good out of bad that happened to us. It's kind of like the cross of Calvary, huh? How he would allow it to happen but work the salvation of the souls of men through it. A mystery of iniquity. David looked beyond the instrument, y'all. He looked beyond the tool. And he saw that his trouble, hey, God, was really the sovereignty of an almighty God ruling and reigning in the affairs of his creation. You see, Misha, Job saw the same thing. Don't you know in Job 1, it was the Sabians who stole Job's oxen? Don't you know, Miss Bridget, that, hallelujah, in Job 1, it was the Chaldeans who stole his camels? Don't you know, amen, that it was Satan that came and smote the corners of his house and took his sons and his daughters away from him? But Job, like David, saw beyond the instruments, y'all. And he saw who sovereignly was behind the trouble that he was going through. So this is what Job says in Job 1 and 21. Job said, I'm not blaming nobody. And sure, I lost a lot of stuff. But Job said, naked came I out my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Listen good. He said, the Lord gave. And what? And the Lord had taken away. It wasn't the Chaldeans. It wasn't the Sabians. It wasn't even the devil. Who did it, Job? The Lord take it away. Are you mature enough in your faith to see the sovereign hand of God ruling in your affairs? Are you part of this new generation, this Laodicean Christian church, this Gentile church that most of y'all are following, that's a mile wide and an inch deep and cannot see God unless something good happening in their life? They can't see a God that's going to take a Joseph and put him in prison to get him to the palace. They can't see that. They can't see that. It's a fickle Christianity. A weak Christianity. And Philly, that's not our brand, our version of Christianity. We're coming out of the Laodicean church. Come on, give God some glory. It was the Lord that gave it. And it was the Lord that took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. David, like Job, acknowledges the sovereignty of God. It's not shimmy. The Lord told him, curse David. Shimmy, the Sabians, the Chaldeans, all of that, y'all, are what we call secondary causes. Say it with me, secondary causes. But there is a primary cause behind everything that happens in the universe. Hast thou considered my servant, Job? You give the devil too much credit. You put too much weight on what people are doing in your life. You thinking some person can stop you or do something? That's too much weight. You're not seeing God in the situation. You see, when we know it's God and not a man, when we know it's God and it's not shimmy, we can take it a little bit better, G Money. Because I would rather suffer in the hands of God any day than suffer in the hands of a man. So when you know it's God behind your trouble and your suffering, it's a totally different thing. Because you know, hey, that it might not feel good. It might not taste good. It might not look good, Brian. But it's always going to work together for my good. Hey. But it takes a mature believer to see the hand of God. Who are you blaming for your problems today? Who you mad at? Who you vengeful towards? Who you want to get back at? Pierce the veil. Open your eyes. And ask that question, God, what you doing in my life today? And why are you doing it? You see, in Psalm 39:9, when we know it's God, look what David says in Psalm 39:9. He says, I was dumb. I opened not my mouth when I knew it was God. Why? Because thou didst it. What I'm going to say? You see, when we going through and we put the blame on everybody else, we murmuring, we talking, we can't close our mouth. But when you get a revelation of his sovereignty, the Bible said, then you become dumb. Oh. Listen. That dumb mean I was silent. I became a mute. I was speechless. I couldn't open my mouth. Why? Because I realized that all my trouble, all my problems, my punishment, the NLT says, it ultimately comes from you. And I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And I'm not going to be complaining about this and complaining about that. Because I know that I can trust you, God. And you're not doing nothing to break me. You're actually doing it to make me. And I'm going to trust in your sovereignty. David said, it's not shimmy, man. What you going to kill him for? That's not him. The Lord had said curse. And I got in my notes right here, and rightfully so. What you mean by that, Pastor? Yeah. David had deserved that. He deserved Shimon to curse him. Why, Pastor? Because of his sin. Because of his sin. Shimon casting stones at him, dust upon him, cursing him, is less. It's less, Jonathan. It's less than what he actually deserved. For the wages of sin is death. I'm trying to preach up in here. Kendrick, you hear me up in here? He deserved it. You know, we go through a lot of trouble in life, and we complain about that trouble. But we hadn't come to the realization that the trouble we get, we deserve. We be mad, Kip, when God said, if I put all your life, God, on the table and show you the things you've done against me and the thing you've done against people in your life. You won't get burned up for a little cursing, a little casting stones? Do you know what I really deserve to give you? Do you know what you really deserve for me to give you, rather? Think about your life. Think about it. And we complain when we go through because we're not considering the sovereign hand of God. And the fact that whatever he put us through, allow us to go through, is mercy because we deserve worse. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Man. What you saying, Pastor? David had sinned against the Lord. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He tried to use deception to cover it up, got that man drunk, and when all of that did not work, set that man up for the fall, killed him through the hands of Joab and the Ammonites. First degree murder, you know. David had deserved to die, y'all. Yes, it was God. Yes, it was God allowing trouble and affliction and persecution through Shimei. But David deserved it, you see. Some might say, but Pastor, David repented. Just like me, I repented of my sins. Good for you. Right? Good for you. I'm happy for you. What you need to understand about sin and repentance is this. A man can truly repent and be forgiven, but it does not necessarily mean that he will not receive the consequences and the repercussions of his actions. Anybody hear me up in here? Yeah. After the drug dealer get picked up, the murderer get picked up, they may get saved while they out on bail. But when that court case comes, you see what I'm saying? That's not unfair for them to do the time for the crime that they committed, Brother Carl. We call that justice. You know? Well, that's not fair. What you mean that's not fair? God forgive their sins. They don't have to go to hell, which is the greatest punishment. They get to go to heaven. All right? What I'm saying is you can repent. You can ask for forgiveness, but don't mean that you won't have the consequence. Pastor, put it in the word. Remember, he told David, God had forgiven your sin, David. But, however, the child shall die. And some other things going to happen in the kingdom. You see? Now, while Shimei was cursing David, he called David a bloody man, you know? And Shimei didn't know what he was saying. It seemed like God was talking through a mule again. You see what I'm saying? And Shimei was saying he was a bloody man because of the blood of the house of Saul, but David ain't never took nobody's life from the house of Saul. So David was just like, he don't know what he's talking about with that. But when Shimei say a bloody man, he meant the house of Saul. But God, through Shimei, meant Uriah's blood. And while David's walking and Shimei said, bloody man! All David could see is Uriah's face. We got to grow up as Christians. You see, you think that every situation is separate in your life. That everything you do is contained by time and space and people groups. Meaning like you did something in Carancrow and you don't think it's going to affect you in Lafayette. Meaning like you did something last year against God and you don't think it's going to come back in 2018. We limited in our thinking and our appreciation of God. God is not confined by time and space like that. When God look at your life, he look at it as a whole board. Anybody hear me up in here? I feel people getting a little nervous right here, but let me just show you his ways for a second. Meaning that you could do somebody over here something, and God not going to deal with you until you over here. With a whole different group or set of people, Shimei ain't got nothing to do with Uriah at all. But it was still judgment for what David did to Uriah. If you don't have vision and you're short-sighted, you'll miss that. Because you're doing wrong. You're sleeping around on your spouse. You're doing stuff all the way over here in New Orleans and all the way over here in Odessa. You're doing that way over here. All right? And you get back and trouble happened over here. And people not being good to you over here. And you mad and you want to buck up and you want to say it ain't fair. When you done forgot how you did God back this way. And God is dealing with you right here. For what you did. Is it plain? That's why we got to watch what we do. That's why we don't sin lightly. You see? Because what we sow, saints, we reap. And reaping happens in different seasons in our life. You sow in the fall and reap in the spring. That's why we don't sin lightly. We don't, no, man, because, and people without discernment can't see the hand of God like that. They can't see him. If they could, they wouldn't be doing the things that they're continuing to do because they would be able to deduce logically, okay, I've done this and God did this and I did this and God did that. I better stop doing. So number one, you know what I'm saying? In order for us to deal with the wrongs people do us, we must look for the hand of God. Stop being so short-sighted and blaming people, blaming the instruments. He said, she said, they not, they doing nah. It's the Lord. The Lord had said, curse David. Secondly, realize that the trouble that we in is usually for sin we've done. It's usually what we deserve. And it might not be sin in that particular situation, but it's sin in another situation that's just being reaped in the current situation. You see? You see? And those of us that's discerning of the hand of God, you'll see it right clear. You'll see it right clear. As soon as the wrong happens in your life, the trouble, you're going to say, that was for that guy. That's what you're going to say. I'm not killing Shimei. He turned around to him with tears in his eyes. And David said to Abisha and to all his servants, behold, my son which came forth of my bowels seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord had bidden him. Now let me summarize this for a second. David says, man, my son is after me. My own son want to kill me. David says, my son from my bowels, my loins, my own flesh and blood is trying to murder me and take my kingdom. Do you think for one second I am worried about this Benjamite who is supposed to be my enemy when my own son is trying to kill me? Why would I worry about him when I got bigger fish to fry? All right? I got bigger fish to fry. Matthew Henry says, David quiets himself under less affliction, by considering the greater affliction. Did y'all catch that, Shalana? He quiets himself. He composes himself. He decreases his anger to want to hurt Shimei. Amen. Because he put it in perspective. He said it's a small thing to what I'm actually going through in the totality of my life here. My son trying to kill me, Miss Ellie. Why am I worried about this Benjamite? Huh? It's a word for us. And the first part of that word is don't sweat the small stuff. Anybody hear me up in here, John? Don't sweat the small stuff. You see, because a lot of times we sweat stuff. We want to hurt people that wrong us when we have bigger fish to fry in our life. Anybody hear me up in here? That girl don't put you no ice at Kentucky Fried Chicken. Huh? But you got bigger problems than that at home. You got some stuff going on your job, or you and your husband can't get along for something, or your child, amen, running from the faith. Do you think you have time and energy to fall out with this person you don't even know when you got bigger fish to fry at home? Behold, my son, we fall out with inconsequential people. We get mad at people, amen, that really, amen, don't really mean too much in the scheme of the workings of our life. If we would do like David and say, why would I ever worry about him when all of this is going on in my life? Oh, come on, somebody. Listen to me. We would have no problems in the church. Because in the church, everybody talking about what's going on in everybody else's life, when their marriage messed up, when their child running the streets, when they can't pay their bills. And if we would just say, behold, my son, my own son, I got my own problems to deal with. Instead of shoo-shooing about somebody else. And the funny thing about it is the people that's doing the most shoo-shooing got the most problems. Come on, Noel, can I just go for a second? Can I just turn loose for a second? What do people say? Sweep around your own front door. You understand me? You worry about everybody else. I'm telling you, and the people, I'm talking from a pastor and shepherd perspective. And the people that's not worried about nobody are the ones in their personal and private lives that have it the most again. I'm telling you, they ain't worried about nobody. I don't hear nothing from them, Brent. I don't hear nothing from them. They ain't come and tell me somebody burnt them up, they mad. I hear nothing about that. Because they know they have bigger fish to fry in life. You see? You see what I'm saying? Woo, don't quit on them, Pastor. Don't quit on them. And so like me, huh? They come at me sometimes with some nonsense, y'all. You know? They come at me about, you know, the color of the usher shirts, or, you know, they don't like the jacket security wear, or I don't like the new light in the sanctuary. Now listen to me good. Listen to me good. All right? In my life right now, we're trying to rescue the people of God from a fallen Babylonian system. Try to attempt to be part of a team that would go in a mosaic-like fashion and rescue them from a second Egyptian captivity. This is what we're on right now, right? We're trying to do that while the Ashkenazis is fighting us and putting all kind of brainwashing things on people TV. And I came, for God's sake, get these Hebrews off that TV and off that music. And we're trying to lead them out of Egypt. But them Hebrews love the leeks and the melons of Egypt. Deli, this is what I'm fighting. This is what I'm fighting. I'm seeing how the devil killing them off and destroying them and destroying their children. But I can't get them to let go those schools, those labs of Lucifer. I can't get them to come out of Babylon, my people. Lest thou be partakers in not only her transgressions, but her judgments. This is what I'm dealing with. Not only those things, but my own personal, hallelujah, challenges. My own family, my own children, go to sleep at night seeing Satan, hallelujah, him talking to me, threatening me for what I'm doing amongst the people of God, telling me what he want to do to me. That's what I'm going through. And they're going to come, Chandra, and talk to me about the color of somebody's shirt. I'm serious. Or about their own personal selfish interest. What about me? Me? I'm getting a little hood. Let me slow down. Count to 10. Nine and a half. 9 3/4. 10, listen to me good. We got bigger fish to fry. Don't sweat the small stuff. Keep pressing. Keep moving. Don't worry about the ancillary things. For if a man continue to look at the clouds, he'll never sow. Therefore, he will never reap. You see? Yeah. But there is also another message in this. David is saying, man, listen, I'm not worried about this Benjamite. Man, my son just betrayed me, man. And it's not only that you could overcome when people wrong you by comparing what you're going through in the present. Meaning like, I got too much on my plate right now. But you can even take what they're doing to you and compare it to what you've been through in the past. Meaning that we overcome by the word of our testimony. You can use what you've been through yesterday to get you through the struggles of today and even tomorrow. The Bible says in Romans 5:3, it says, tribulation worketh patience. This means that the trouble you go through in life will give you patience to endure, hallelujah, trouble that come into your life. All right? Anybody hear me up in here? What we need to understand about trouble is that trouble prepares us for more trouble. Isn't that something? That's a terrible thing. But it's true. Tribulation worketh patience. I have in my notes, excuse the Ebonics, ain't nothing in this world teaches you to go through trouble like trouble. Right? 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 Pastor, how does that apply? David could look and see, man, my son just betrayed me, dog. Look all I done been through. You think I'm worried about Shimei? Throwing rocks and cursing? I done been through fire and ice. I done been through hell and high water. Why am I going to let this little thing bother me when I've been through greater things back here? Oh, well, you're not hearing me up in here. You see? You're not worried about what your enemies do. Because in the past, you done had friends do you wrong. So when friends do you wrong and you don't, you know what I'm saying? Enemies do you like, whatever. It don't hurt as bad because you done been through greater. Let me keep going. Don't get tired on me. You're not worried about when people hate you and attack you because you've already gone through people you've been good to, that you done prayed for, brought food to the house for. Them people stab you in the back. So you ain't worried about, because you done been through something greater. You're not even worried about when friends and people you've been good to talk about you. When you could look back and see in your life, you done had your own sisters and your own brothers, your own mama slander you like a dog. Your own daddy, hey, God, pass you by in the road, act like he don't know you. And they call you every name in the book. You see? What I'm teaching you is that when we go through the greatest situations of pain in our life, it's not for naught. It puts us in a place, Janice, where we stronger. Tribulation worketh patience. And so now you done been through all this in the past. So when these little things that's folding everybody else, got everybody else crying, got everybody else quitting, got everybody else throwing in the towel, hey, God, you can stand because God done brought you through greater. Hey, God, he said, he said, behold, my son done did me that. You think I'm worried about it? I done been through tougher times than this. Tribulation work it, patience. You think I'm worried about you? When my children done did me this? You think I'm worried about you when a spouse done left me high and dry? You think I'm worried about you not giving me ice in my cup? You got it twisted, baby. That's what I got. Baby, you got it twisted. See? In some of our lives, God prepares us for pain through pain. Amen. Amen. Man, look, I'm being as real as I could be. And we sit there and we wonder, we say, Lord, why so much? Why so much, God? I look over here and she not going through this. I look over here and he ain't lost all of this. Why so much for me, God? Why so much pain? You know? But what we need to know is that the pain is for preparation. Because God is saying, where I'm taking you, you're going to have to be strong. Your skin going to have to be thick. And other people not going to be able to endure what you have been built and prepared to endure. Hey, God. When you walk into your calling, you're just not going to stumble upon this. God gonna say you was built for this. You was made for this. And every trial you went through was for this. And here you go, people gonna be falling and crying and all that, and you gonna stand strong. Why you ain't crying, Kimmy? Why you ain't crying, Bridget? Why you ain't throwing in the towel like the rest of them? Because I've been prepared through pain. I've been prepared through pain. I ain't worried about Shimmy. Behold, my own son done did me this. And some of y'all done been through some pain, man. Watching them children do you like that. Watching them spouses do you like that. Losing loved ones like that. You know? I have in my notes, hey, God. There you go, man. The bill's late, but you say, baby, I done lost a house. I done lived in a shelter. That type of stuff don't affect me. I done lived in a car before. We're going to have to keep you overnight. Oh, keep me overnight, baby. I done been on life support. What you mean? We got to bury our friend. Bury a friend. Listen, life not over. I done had to bury parents and spouses. I done had to bury my own children. I done been through pain, and I'm not quitting. I'm going to serve the Lord through it. Come hell or high water, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And some come and they say in the churches to the pastors, oh, you got a few gossipers up in here, pastor. A few dividers. But they don't know. They don't know that we done seen tougher days than this. A few little dividers and a few little gossipers. Nah, they ain't walked through what we done had to walk through. Oh, nah. From regular congregations? Oh, nah. In the history of this church, we done dealt with deacons. We done dealt with ministers. We done had to deal with associate pastors. These little things that we got to deal with? This other stuff kept me at night, kept me up at night. This other stuff made me cry. You see what I'm saying? But that pain I would never erase from the history of this church, because that pain prepared me to pastor and to keep a level head and to do things the right way and not based upon emotion or feelings, because I done walked down them roads. Where you walking right now? What you going through? Are you murmuring or complaining? Are you going to tighten up your belt? And you're going to say like James chapter 1 verse 3 when he said, count it all joy. When you fall into diverse temptations. What did he say in verse 3, huh? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it worked, that patience I've been talking about, that endurance I've been talking about, that don't quit grit. If you ain't been through nothing, you ain't going to be able to take it when it comes. Are you hearing me up in here? Don't ask him why. Just say thank you when it comes. Come on, give him praise. Come on, give him praise. We praise him when we up. We praise him when we down. We praise him in the light. We praise him in the dark. We praise him in the rain. We praise him in the sunshine. Hey! Because when it's done, it all worked together for my good. The victory, it belongs to Jesus. I'm telling you, come on, y'all, come on. Come on, y'all sit down. Y'all gonna get me preaching up in here. I could see him crying, Mr. Joe. All of this is happening to me. Wrong perspective. All of this is happening for me. Hallelujah. How do you handle when people wrong you? You see the sovereign hand of God. You encourage yourself that in the current time you have bigger fish to fry. or secondarily, you've been through greater. You've been through worse. That kind of rhymes. Let shimmy curse, for I have been through worse. Hey! That's a shirt, somebody. Let them curse. Let them talk about me. I done been through worse. You see? Lastly, how do you handle when people wrong you? Lastly, it's the last one, y'all. You realize if you do this right, if you let them curse and let you do you wrong, if you do this right and you react the right way to this pain and to this struggle, maybe, just maybe, you might come out with a blessing. God is going to bless you for doing this thing right. You going to come out, yo! And there's the way he blessed is, he give us double for our trouble. You understand what I'm saying? Meaning that he take note of all the tears and all the pain. And usually when God will come through, hey God, after the pain, the blessing going to be so perfect and so big and so bountiful and so beautiful that you going to forget everything that you went through. Hey God, it's like a woman with child. She expecting. And while she expecting, hey God, she complaining. Oh, she complained the whole way through. First few semesters, first trimester, can't complain. I'm throwing up, can't keep nothing down. As it continues to go, amen, oh, I don't like the way my body looking. You know, as it continues to go, oh, man, look, man, oh, goodness, it's hot, it's August, it's July. As it continues to go, oh, my back, my neck and my back, my back. As it continues to go, contractions. Ow! Get it out of me. Start rebuking that thing. But after that baby comes, after the delivery of that child, seem like that woman forget all about her pain and her weight, and she holding that baby. Oh, mama been warning you. And I remember we was in the hospital room, amen, after Grace, amen. And First Lady is a woman of God, man. She's a major woman, amen. Hallelujah. I love her. All right? Hallelujah. And all that I was saying was not her, no, y'all. Let's just get this clear. I'm talking about some hypothetical women out there that exist somewhere in Never Never Land. So listen. So we in the hospital room, man, and we done had Grace, you know what I'm saying? And she did it, man. She did it. And Lord have mercy, she did it. You know what I mean? She did it. Lord, she did it. And I was just like, much like respect, like, wow, girl, like, man. You know? And so I tried something, Noel. I looked at her right after that. You know what I'm saying? Now, she done just been through the most traumatic experience of her life. And I look at your sister Des and I say, would you do it again? Yes. Yes. That's why men don't have children. You understand what I'm saying? Men, there would be, it'd be over. I go through this once, it's over. So I don't know where I was. Let's see if we can get back to it. When you go through pain, if you do it right, God will drop you a blessing so big. It'll give you amnesia to the pain that you had just been through. It'll be so beautiful in your own. They'll ask you. I said, John, would you do it again? Yes, I'll do it again. Yes, I'll do it again. And And we did it twice after Griff. Two babies after that. You see? Here it is. We just got to react the right way. Point number C. Come on, let's just move. Come on, y'all all right? Y'all still up out there? All right, requite me good. So David says in verse 12, he says, it may be that the Lord will look. He said, don't kill Shimei. Let him curse. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Listen, David knows that we have a good, good father, y'all. He's a wonderful, merciful Savior. And he loves his people. And he can't really see, amen, his people go through trouble like that. It don't bring God any pleasure to watch us go through affliction. It really doesn't. You see? And David knows that, hallelujah, if he can just react the right way, lay up under the mighty hand of God, that sooner or later, God will exalt him if he humbles himself and just stay where he's supposed to stay. If David don't kick against the goad, if he don't fight against the prick, if he don't resist the bridle and the bit, maybe, just maybe, God gonna see him and bless him with a supersized blessing. I got a few words for you. Here, I have it in my notes. Learn how to take it. Say that with me. Learn how to take it. See, I put that in regular terms, but in the hood, we would say, you better take your lick. And some of the older schools say, you made your bed, you better lie in it. You understand what I'm saying? It's all the same thing. All right? But you got to learn how to take it. Take what? Take your whipping from God. Got to learn how to take that. Listen, you went out and did what you did like a man. Now go ahead, take your whipping like a man or a woman. I got a few claps. I praise God for you, Brother Carl. Now, when you're chasing a child, you got some children that fight back during the whipping. Big brother, this is how we used to do. All right? And then they got others who know how to take it. You know what I'm saying? All right? Now, at my house, you know, we don't spare the rod, all right? And I love my children. I love them. I'm telling you, hallelujah, I love my babies. I ain't going to talk about them like that, but, you know, we don't spare the rod. But at my house, amen, the girls know, but Omar's still kind of learning, amen. If I tell them, I'm going to give you two, or I'm going to give you three, all right? Because I like to tell them before I chasing them, because we don't want just no wild whipping where you got loops on your neck and all that. Nah, you're going to assume the position over the bed or on my knee, and it's going to all be methodical. You know what you did. I'm going to read you your charge. Did you do it? Mm-hmm. All right. What you supposed to get? The rod. All right. If daddy don't whip you, daddy obeying God? No, daddy would be disobeying God. That's right. So we put you on that. And we're going to give it to you. And I'm going to tell you how many I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you three. It's going to be over before you know it. All right? The problem is when they start moving. They don't give me all of it. They start to kind of. And they put their hand back there. Like I said, the girls are great. We working. The girls are great. So here it is. Now I'm telling y'all this as a two-way testimony. Number one, you should be putting the rod on your kids, like the Bible says. All right. Don't come blame me when they don't turn out right. Hallelujah. And number two, to give you a spiritual analogy of how we are with our God. You see, just like them children, we got some that won't take their lick. They won't allow trouble in their life. They moving, putting their hand back there, and all this. And at my house, I tell my kids, if I don't get you good, it don't count. It's three, yeah, but it's three. It's flush. I got to feel it. It's got to move. You know what I'm saying? If it ain't flush, Miss Kitty, it ain't happening. So there I go. I'm going with my three, but you done move on two of them. Now we done wasted two of them. And instead of three, you get what? Five. Just stay still and learn how to. You did the wrong. You did the wrong. Now you did the wrong. Woo! Some of y'all, when God puts you through trouble, you don't take it. You're blaming everybody, talking about this, talking about that, instead of just taking it. And he can't get you good. And until he gets you good, he's going to keep putting you in that chastening position until you learn how to take it. Just take it. Just take it. You're looking for this. You're looking for that way out. Just take it. Let him curse. Let him talk. Go through what you got to go through. Just take it. You see? Just take it. You see? Because God ain't going to stop until he gets you right. You see? Now here's the other thing about God. David know that God is so good, even though he tell you he going to give you three. If you take that first one good, I'm teaching you his character, y'all. This is how good he is. He going to tell you, I'm giving you three. But if you just, I don't want to show you how to do it, but if you just get down and just Father, do it, do as you will. I did the wrong. You know what I'm saying? Do as thou thinkest is right. I ain't going to fight you. I ain't going to complain. I ain't going to even get mad at your instruments. Look, come on, man. It was me that sinned. You're right. And I'm wrong. And God get down there and he'll put that chastening on you. Pow! And then he'll look at how you humbled yourself. God say, I thought I wanted to give you three. But I'm only give you one this time. I'ma just give you one this time. I'ma just what y'all talking about over there? Y'all don't you be using my mercy on me now. Listen. Because that's how it is when it's done right. That's how it is when it's done right. You know? He may just requite you for good. Yes. Let him curse. Why? The Lord might have told him to do it. I done been through worse. I got bigger fish to fry. And maybe, just maybe, if I go through this right, I'm not going to get what I deserve. I'm going to get me some mercy. And I may just get me a blessing at the end of it all. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him some glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for a patient people, a people that's after your own heart, that loves your word. I thank you, Father God, that they don't come for a 10-minute sermon. They don't come for a 15-minute sermon, but they want the whole truth, not but the truth. So help us, God. And Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that something was said tonight that they can go home and chew on and discuss and use to, God, shape our ways, and that we could be more pleasing to you, Daddy. Help us, Daddy. Father, there's somebody here who don't know you, and I pray they would get to know you today. I've talked to the saints most of the service, but we're not going to leave without presenting the gospel. I pray you accompany it with power. In Jesus' name. Amen. The gospel is simple. You came to this church tonight because you knew that you can get saved here and be forgiven here. And it's true. You admit you're a sinner to God. Don't hide. Don't run. You be a man or a woman about your business. Yeah, I did it. and I'm sorry, God, I don't mean to sin against you. Then you believe that God died on the cross for you in the person of Jesus Christ, buried in the grave, but on the third day he rose with all power and all might. And all you got to do is open your mouth and confess him as Lord and Savior. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's tonight. That's tonight. So whoever you are tonight and whatever you've done, God don't care about that. Only thing he cares about is whether you accept his offer of salvation. Judgment day gonna be easy. It's gonna be the line that accepted Christ and the line that didn't. Which line you gonna be in? Because this line is going to heaven and eternal life, and this other line will be judged by their works. And we all fall short of the glory. And that line's gonna go to Sheol, to destruction and to hell. If you want to make your calling and election sure tonight, just close your eyes right now. Just close your eyes. Don't worry about nothing that's going on. We got ushers, greeters, security, cameras. Don't worry about nothing that's going on. God got you back through us. Just focus on him right now. Say, God, thank you for loving me. I'm sorry for my sins, but I believe that you died for me, and I believe that you rose from the grave. Lord, save me, a sinner. I need you. Can't do it without you. Fill me with your spirit and grow me up in the faith, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him some glory. Come on, give him some glory, somebody. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you.